A few weeks ago, we started our morning teaching series on the book of Jonah. So we're continuing that today. And Dorinda and Lizzie are going to bring our readings to us.
The first Bible reading is from the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1 to 17. One day, the Lord spoke to Jonah, son of Amittai. He said, "Go to Nineveh, that great city, and speak out against it. I am aware how wicked its people are." Jonah, however, set out in the opposite direction in order to get away from the Lord. He went to Joppa. He found a ship about to go to Spain. He paid his fare and went aboard with the crew to sail to Spain, where he would be away from the Lord. But the Lord sent a strong wind on the sea, and the storm was so violent that the ship was in danger of breaking up. The sailors were terrified and cried out for help, each one to his own God. Then, in order to lessen the danger, they threw a cargo overboard. Meanwhile, Jonah had gone below and was lying in the ship's hold, sound asleep. The captain found him there and said to him, "What are you doing asleep? Get up and pray to your God for help. Maybe he will feel sorry for us and spare our lives." The sailors said to one another, "Let's draw lots and find out who is to blame for getting us into this danger." They did so, and Jonah's name was drawn. So they said to him, "Now then, tell us, are you to blame for this? What are you doing here? What country do you come from? What is your nationality?" "I am a Hebrew," Jonah answered. "I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made land and sea." Jonah went on to tell them that he was running away from the Lord. The sailors were terrified and said to him, "That was an awful thing to do." The storm was getting worse all the time. So the sailors asked him, "What should we do to you to stop the storm?" Jonah answered, "Throw me into the sea and it will calm down. I know it is my fault that you are caught in this violent storm." Instead, the sailors tried to get the ship to shore, rowing with all their might. But the storm was getting worse and worse, and they got nowhere. So they cried out to the Lord, "O Lord, we pray, don't punish us with death for taking this man's life. You, O Lord, are responsible for all of this. It is your doing." Then they picked Jonah up and threw him into the sea, and it calmed down at once. This made the sailors so afraid of the Lord that they offered a sacrifice and promised to serve him. At the Lord's command, a large fish swallowed Jonah, and he was inside the fish for 3 days and nights.
The second reading is taken from John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. "For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to be its judge, but to be its saviour." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word to us today. Lord, we pray that by your Spirit you will speak to us. Help us to hear what you want us to say. Help us to be ready to receive it. Lord, challenge us, inspire us, encourage us, speak to us afresh, and help us to go from this place, change people, having encountered the living God. In Jesus' name, amen. A very, very famous philosopher tells a story of a town where only ducks live. As you will appreciate, it's a story that I like. Every Sunday, the ducks would waddle out of their duck houses down the main street to the duck church. They would waddle in and settle down and wait for the duck minister to come and preach. He would read to them from the duck Bible, declaring, "Ducks, God has given you wings. With wings, you can fly. With wings, you can mount up and soar like eagles. No walls can confine you. No fences can hold you. You have wings. God has given you wings, so go and fly like the birds." Together, the ducks all quacked. Amen! I can't do it in a quacking way. And then they all waddled home. The point of the story by that philosopher is that although the ducks agreed with what they'd heard, they never acted on it. They carried on their lives exactly the same the following week, waddling here, there, and everywhere. But if they'd believed what they heard and responded, their lives would have been changed and they would have flown. This morning, we have the same challenge before us. We could come here just to watch Sam and Jazz be baptized today. We could listen to their stories, hear some words from the Bible, and then go home. Or we could be different to the ducks and actually allow what we hear to change our lives. Because as Jonah, the sailors, and the people of Nineveh were to discover, God longs to make a difference to our lives. God longs to transform us and bring us fulfillment in our life in ways that are beyond our imagination. Why does God want to do that? Ultimately, it is because he loves us all so much. And because he wants us to respond to his love, so his love reaches out to us wherever we are. We heard in verse 2 of our main reading that Jonah was called by God to go to Nineveh, that great city, and speak out against it. "I am aware how wicked its people are." Now, Nineveh was a very significant city in the ancient world, but it lived pretty much in the opposite way to the way that God's people lived. It's no wonder that Jonah was more than a bit reluctant to go into that city and give them God's message. The message is strongly worded, but behind the message is God's longing for people to know him and to live in a way that was best for them. You see, this was not a threat where God was seeking to get his own back for the way that the people were behaving. It was a strong word to try and get the people to know him and to choose to follow his ways. Now, Jonah knew God, and Jonah knew God's love. He knew God was a God of grace and a God of mercy. And he knew that if he delivered God's word and the people took notice, then God would probably have mercy on these people. And the ways that Jonah had been speaking against them would not come true. Jonah wasn't only afraid to venture into a city as dreadful as Nineveh. He was also worried about his own reputation, that his words as a prophet might be seen to be false. And so Jonah chose to run away. As the events unfold, we see God's love reaching out in a different way. This time, reaching out to Jonah. Even though he was trying his hardest to ignore God and pretend he'd never even heard him. We heard that God sent a strong wind on the sea, and the storm was so violent, the ship was in danger of breaking up. But God wasn't out to get Jonah because he disobeyed him. God loved Jonah. God didn't want Jonah to turn his back on him and isolate himself. But at the end of the day, Jonah's actions were preventing the people of Nineveh from knowing God's will for them too. So God used the storm as a way to speak to Jonah. Rather than abandoning him in a storm, God was in the storm with Jonah, and he used the storm to reach out to him. And today, God's love is reaching out to every single one of us. We've heard already how Sam and Jazz came to know God personally themselves, and how they've come to know God at work in their lives. And now God is saying to you, he loves you too. And he wants you to know him. And he wants you to follow him so that you can get the best out of your life too. Perhaps like Jonah, you've been trying to pretend he isn't there. Or maybe you know full well what God has said to you, and you're trying to run away. Maybe like the people of Nineveh, you've lived oblivious to his love and his purpose for your life. Maybe you can't even understand why God would ever want to love you, you of all people. Or maybe you've heard plenty about his love. You've heard it again and again, but like the little ducks, you've never allowed that truth to impact your life. However you feel today, whatever you've done, God's love is reaching out to you. Even if you feel you're right in the middle of a storm, God is longing for you to know him and follow him and let him transform your life. Eventually, Jonah discovered that there was nowhere he could run to hide from God, and there was no way he could escape God's love. His adventure continued as a storm raged about him and the sailors tried to find a way to stay alive. The sailors too were men who didn't know the living God. So they prayed to other gods to save them. And they threw all their cargo overboard, but the storm stayed. So eventually they went and got Jonah, who was sound asleep, and they asked him to pray. But Jonah did nothing. So the sailors cast lots, something that was a common practice in their time, and the lots revealed that Jonah was to blame for the storm. You can imagine the sailors' shock as they fired question after question at him, trying to understand what was going on. Who are you? They wanted to know. Why are you here? Where are you from? And Jonah could hide no more. The challenging questions that were thrown at him brought Jonah to the place where he had to admit to the sailors, and he had to admit to himself what was really going on. I am a Hebrew, he answered. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made land and sea. At last, he'd done it. Jonah had acknowledged that God is the living God. You see, the storm that Jonah faced with the sailors was not the only storm he was in. His heart and his mind were also in turmoil as he tried to run away from God and ignore God's word. But the sailors had prompted him to admit what he knew all along. His God is the Lord, the God of heaven, who made land and sea. Interestingly, his admission eventually led to the sailors making the same response and acknowledging that God is God. Later in the reading, in verse 16, we discover the sailors eventually threw Jonah into the sea and it calmed down at once. This made the sailors so afraid of the Lord, they offered a sacrifice and promised to serve him. In fact, here our Good News translation is not so helpful. Yeah, it was a very scary time for the sailors, but the fear that they had was more likely to have been in the form of reverence and worship than terror. They'd seen the power of the living God, and they confessed that he was God and worshipped him, committing to serve him in their lives. God's love reaches out to every single one of us, even if we try and hide from it. And there comes a time for all of us when we are confronted with the questions that Jonah faced. Sometimes we think we know best, and we don't want to admit that God is God. Sometimes life hurts, and even though we know God, we struggle to make sense of the pain we're in, and it's hard to acknowledge that God is still God. But whoever we are, whatever life is like for us at this moment, we are still presented with the same decision. And if we want to accept God's love, God's hope, God's purpose, then we have to begin by acknowledging that God is God. But Jonah confessed more than his faith in God when he answered the sailor's questions. He also admitted what he'd done wrong. Verse 10 explains he went on to tell them he was running away from the Lord. Wow, that was some confession. Especially when we all know that we don't actually like to admit if we've done something wrong, do we? Now, we don't like it if we get blamed for something that we haven't done. But we can all find it very easy to stay quiet and not own up to our own wrongdoings. I remember as a little girl, we were out on a very big family picnic. And in the afternoon, I went with my cousin and my nan to get ice creams. My cousin and I were told to stand still along from the ice cream van while my nan was buying the ice creams. Now, for some reason, and I have no idea why, after a very long wait, my cousin and I went back to the rest of the family and the picnic. When my nan had bought the ice creams, she was distraught as we weren't there. She searched and she searched, and eventually she came back to the picnic, and boy, were we in trouble. Now, my cousin, who was older than me, immediately got the blame. And it was so hard for me to confess that actually it was just as much my idea, and we were both to blame. Now, clearly, I learned that lesson because many, many years later, I remember it. I still picture it, and I know where that picnic was. But if we're honest with ourselves, we know there are times for all of us when we get things wrong, we hurt other people, we make bad decisions, we let God down. But like Jonah, in order to respond to God's love, we have to come to the point where we admit what we've done wrong to him. Not because God wants to make us feel bad, but because in taking responsibility and confessing to him, we can then receive forgiveness and have a fresh start in life again. This is part of having a personal relationship with the living God. We don't automatically become perfect when we choose to follow God. We don't automatically become perfect even when we get baptized. Sam and Jazz will still make mistakes. They'll still get things wrong sometimes. But they know that those wrong things don't have to separate them from God. They know that as they bring them back to God, God can forgive them, can give them a fresh start, and help them to live their lives in the best way, his way, again. Having confessed his wrongdoing, the sailors tried to help Jonah find a way to make things right again. But deep down, Jonah knew there was only one way. He had to stop running, and he had to put his life into God's hands. "Throw me into the sea," he told the sailors, "and it will calm down. I know it's my fault you're caught in this violent storm." Now, the sailors weren't happy with this answer. They didn't want to risk drowning a prophet of the Lord. So they tried desperately to row to the land, but it was no use. So eventually they cried out for mercy, and they did as Jonah said. And the storm calmed down immediately. Now, it has been suggested that maybe Jonah was so adamant he wasn't going to Nineveh that he'd rather die. But I think that's being a bit unfair on Jonah. I know he was rebelling against God, but that seems a bit reckless, even for Jonah. And after all, think about what he said. He was convinced the storm would end the minute the sailors threw him overboard. And allowing them to do that, he risked his life to save theirs. But more than that, he committed his life into God's hands. He knew that God was God, and he accepted whatever that might mean for his life. Now, clearly it was a dangerous move, being thrown into the middle of a stormy sea. But I think, deep down, although he didn't know how, Jonah knew he wasn't going to lose his life. Jonah knew he was going to end up going to Nineveh. And yet again, we see the love of God reaching out to Jonah. He was safe from drowning, even if it was through a very large fish. If we want to respond to God's love, it takes more than an acknowledgement of who he is and a confession of our own mistakes. It means committing to follow him, to go his way, even in the storms of life. It means allowing him to help us from now on. Sometimes choosing to go God's way isn't easy. Sometimes he asks us to make a stand for him, not by sending us to Nineveh, maybe by being baptized though, or maybe by telling our friends, our colleagues, our neighbours about him. Sometimes it means choosing to live in a way that's different to those around us, living by God's values, not by those of our world. Always it means putting our trust in him. But you know, that really isn't as scary as it sounds, because we know that God clearly knows far better than we do. And more than that, he loves us so much that he always wants the best for us. Jonah may have risked his life in the sea to save the sailors, but Jesus, God's son, completely gave up his life for us, dying and rising again, in order that every single one of us could receive God's love and be part of his family. That's how much God loves us. Even though life can still be really tough, we can always commit our life into his hands. We can always trust in him because he has a plan and a purpose for us. So as we close this morning, let me ask you a question. We've seen Sam and Jazz be baptized. We've heard how God's at work in their lives. We've listened to Jonah's story as he tried to run away from God and ended up acknowledging God and committing his life into his hands. My question is, what about you today? Will you accept God's love for you, even you? Will you acknowledge that he is the living God? Will you follow him, stand up for him, as you tell others about him? Will you follow his call to be baptized? There'll be another baptism service in a few months, so if you want to know more about that, come and see me afterwards. Perhaps you just want to find out more about who this God really is, in which case maybe the commitment you need is to join me next term on the Alpha course to discover more of who God is. Will you commit your life into God's hands and trust him no matter what, even in the storms you're facing today? Or will you be like the little ducks and not allow these truths to transform your life and just waddle home unchanged. Let's take a moment of silence and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word to us today. And we thank you so much that you love every single one of us. It's easy to say that Jesus died to save the world. It's so much harder to acknowledge that Jesus died to save me. Lord, for those of us struggling to admit that, help us to have the courage to acknowledge that you are God. Help us to admit what we have done that is wrong and receive your forgiveness. Help us to surrender our lives to you and to welcome you as our Lord and Saviour. Lord, you know some of us this morning do know you, but sometimes we find it hard to make a stand for you. Help us to stand up for you and to allow others to know the difference that you've made in our lives so that they can come to know you too. Lord, you know some of us here know you very well, but we're struggling to find you in the midst of the storm that we're facing at the moment. Help us to hold on to the truth that you are God and allow your love to uphold us. Give us the strength to trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.